Will you pray with me? As your Holy Spirit spoke to Mary, the mother of our Lord, speak to us now through your word, that by hearing, we too may receive faith and be strengthened to do your will. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John, the first chapter, verses 9 through 13, and then 29 through 34. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. So here we are, we're in the third week. So we are journeying through Advent. And as we go that, we've been taking a deeper look at the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, not usually one of the texts people tend to use for Christmas, but very fitting. And as we journey through looking at that whole concept that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, I pray that we just continue to get a deeper understanding and that our hearts become more prepared to encounter Christ, not just now, but throughout our year, to know that as Christ can be with us, we can encounter once again now, as we especially remember it, but throughout the entire year, we can realize that we can encounter the living God. Because Christ came, Christ showed up. God showed up as that infant in a manger. So the first week you talked a little bit just about Christmas and just the season of Advent, but of course the incarnation. And then week two, I think Pastor Patty was once again talking a little bit about the incarnation, but about the grace that comes with that, what it means for God to be with us, and then to make a way for us to receive grace from God in our lives to bless us. And then what it means to come before God in worship, to recognize who God is and to be able to proclaim that. So we're going to come, and you saw two different passages, because what we're going to do is talk about two different gifts that are made real because God showed up in the manger as our Savior. And we're going to kind of explore those in light of the life of Christ. So we're going to just really talk about that whole reality that God showed up. God showed up in the incarnation. And that's really part of his nature. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had gone against what God had asked them to do, had just disregarded his command, and went against it, God showed up. God came looking for them. God initiated that and went to restore them back. It was about restoring them back. In Egypt, they're in slavery. They've been in slavery for 400 years, and they're calling out to God. And once again, God showed up. He sent Moses to be their deliverer, but God was there. God worked mighty wonders in order to deliver them. God showed up. He continued to show up the whole time they were in the desert. He showed up to lead them, to protect them when they lost their way, which we all do multiple times throughout our lives. But God shows up, calls us back, seeks to restore us. And when we come to Christmas, that's the ultimate act of God showing up is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That God came as His only begotten Son to be with us, to give us a life that is full of grace and truth. So when we're starting to look at these gifts, we're going to know that they're in many ways interrelated, because we're going to start by talking about that verse that talked about adoption. And then we're going to spend some time talking about forgiveness. But we're going to look at this gift of adoption, that we can become sons and daughters of God. And it tells us in the verse 12 that as we place our faith, as we receive faith and we believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the right to become children of God. Children of God. Children of the King. Prince and princesses. It's not anything we do. If you look at that passage, it's not of blood. It's not of man, it's not of man's will, but it is of the will of God that He loves us so much that He sent His Son to be able to join us together in a family and for us to be called children of God, for us to have that kind of relationship with God. And we know that not everyone has that kind of loving relationship that we see here, because we're seeing God as a loving Father, as one that seeks after us, to restore us, that is always concerned with our best interests. God wants us to have a fullness of life, and not everybody has that. And even for those people that have had broken relationships growing up, this is an important thing to remember, because you have the guarantee that you will have that parent. You will have that father that will love you, that will sacrifice for you, that will care for you and lead you. And that is what we want to remember. I was serving on an Emmaus walk, ladies walk that we just had, and I know some of you are from Gulf Coast, and I don't know, Suncoast and Gulf Coast are now one big Emmaus community. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's just one big Emmaus community. And there was a lady there that was struggling with things that had really had happened in her life and that she had caused in other relationships in reaction to the brokenness in her life. She then ended up, just by her actions, causing other issues. But part of it was that when we talked, she had forgotten her true identity in Christ. She had forgotten that in Christ, she is not a person of the brokenness that surrounds her, that she can step back and proclaim that she is indeed a child of God that is loved. And that is given a new start and a new beginning. That there, she's given the ability to proclaim that she's a princess. And to live in that kind of life. To change her behavior by the power of the Spirit. Because that's the only way we change. We can't really change ourselves very well. We need God's help. But she can proclaim that childship, that being that heir to the throne, that she really is a daughter of the King. And that's who we are. We are sons and daughters of the King in and through Christ. And that is this one big gift, one of the many, but one big gift we get in the incarnation that Christ gives us. But even as we look at this fabulous gift, how many of us struggle with actually focusing on Christ in Advent? Isn't it true? Don't we all? I mean, I had, especially when we had children, because what is it? You know, we start into this whole thing within the world that it's like a big whirlpool. I mean, it used to wait till the week of Thanksgiving and kind of get kicked off on, you know, Black Friday. But now, I mean, the whirlpool starts building that wants to suck us into it in September now. I mean, even before, well before Halloween, what? It the world is already trying to suck us into, let's forget about what Christmas is about. Let's make Advent, let's make Christmas about everything but Christ. And don't we struggle with that? I mean, we had, and now what we do is we watch our kids struggle with it, with the grandkids, you know, because it's the same thing. Doesn't it have to be bigger? Doesn't it have to be better? I mean, here's, you know, you used to have a couple of catalogs. Now everybody's got a catalog. And everybody, it's about what are you going to get? And we forget about the gifts that God has given us, gifts that are continually available to us every day of our lives. But the world is wanting us to think about bigger and better. Well, you know, you got to have a bigger tree this year. You know, you have to have more ornaments. You know, you have to have more light up reindeer in your yard. You know, there's always something that the world wants you to think about, instead of focusing on what this season means for us every day of our lives. We know the season's got all this meaning, yet we just get numb to it because of what the world tells us. So we want to focus back on these gifts, and understand that in reality, God knows about all those things that we want. But even more so, God knows the things that are most needful for us. The things that we truly need to change our hearts. The things that we truly need to give us joy. And those are usually things that come from God, that come from relationship. Now, that's how we get the real joy that we're supposed to have in this world, our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. And those are the things that we need to come back to. Because in that, there's in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, that's that passage that says, well, who among you, if your child would ask for something good, would give them something bad? And they usually snakes and scorpions. But the bottom line is, you wouldn't. And even more so than our relationships with all of our families and friends, even more so, we have in God someone who loves us so much that in this gift of a child, he continues to give us the good gifts that we need for our life. And when we start to talk about that, then we need to go to the next passage. As we've talked about that adoption, as our faith gives us cause to believe in Christ, we become that family. We receive that justification. We say yes to this relationship with the living God through our Savior by the power of the Spirit. But we then look at the next passage as we looked at today that says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's a pushback to the imagery of the Torah, to that sacrificial system that Christ is here to release us from. That's going to be this next gift. This gift of grace and forgiveness that we receive in and through Christ. And when we look at that, there was a commentator, Rondi Whitaker, had pointed out there's multiple ways to look at that when John's proclaimed the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You know, you can look back at it as the Lamb that was given to Abraham so he didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. You can look at it as the scapegoat, where on the Day of Atonement, the priest would take and confess all the sins of Israel on this goat, scapegoat, and they would drive the goat into the wilderness. And that goat would take away the confessed sins of the nation away from them to not be seen again. That sins in the goat would disappear to not be seen again. But more important to me, and I think in many commentators, is really that Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of the original Passover, the perfect firstborn male Lamb who's represented by Christ, the firstborn male perfect child is the one that's going to be the perfect Lamb for us. The one who is going to bear our sins away, be able to actually start to heal that relationship completely with our Father, to give us a way that as we turn back to God, all of that brokenness that we have in our lives is borne away. It's taken from us. The psalmist says that the God can remove sins as far as the east is from the west. That's the power of this. And what we want to look at is that is what God provides us, that gateway. See, once again, it is about God showing up to do this. Just once again, as God initiated coming to Adam and Eve in the garden, God initiates again, coming to us to, out of love for us, give us a way to restore our brokenness. Does it mean we stop falling down on our faces? No, it just means that God has made a way that He'll pick us up. He dusts us off, He fills us back up, and He puts us back on His path. That is this forgiveness. Jesus holds nothing against us. That's what this sacrifice that this perfect Lamb in the manger is going to do for us. Say that He holds nothing against us, that all that is gone. It's like in the parable Christ told about the forgiving king who had the servant that came to him with an insurmountable debt. I mean, some of the people go calculate it up, and basically, you know, it comes out that he could not have worked the rest of his life and even thought about paying off that debt. He went to the king and asked for mercy, and the king forgave it. And sometimes we take that a little bit too lightly. We sit there and, oh, you know, that was really nice. The king forgave the debt. But the word used is a Greek word called aero, and it means to take upon oneself. It is means to carry a load that has been picked up. And we forget that we say the king forgave the debt, but he forgave it in the way that Christ forgives us. He took it completely upon himself. He absorbed it. He wasn't magically restored that amount of money. The king, out of his love, said, I am just going to take that on me and bear it, which is what Christ did at the cross. He took all of our sins and bore them on the cross to remove them from us, that we didn't have to be accountable for them, that we had a way to have forgiveness and restoration as we turn back to God. That doesn't mean that we don't end up suffering consequences sometimes for that brokenness that we've caused in the world, but it means that ultimately God has forgiven all that, and we are made whole in relationship to Him. And we need to remember how deep it is, because even at our worst times in our lives, God will show up to forgive us. Even at the worst parts of our lives, when things have happened to us or we have done things, it's like He showed up for Peter. On Peter's worst day, he had already proclaimed that it didn't matter. I will go die with if I need to. Yet a little while later, what had he done? He denied Christ three times. Three times. And then Christ looked at him and he realized it. He realized what he had done and ran. But even though he had done that, what did Christ do? After his resurrection, Christ showed up to Peter to restore him. As Peter turned back to Christ, as Peter recognized what he had done to break that relationship and repented of that, it's forgiveness. Christ has guaranteed us that, that there's nothing to do but to turn back to God and you receive forgiveness. And you're restored back into your childship, your adoption as part of the children of God. And that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is still a life-changing experience. We don't need to let the world make us numb to it. It is always, and not just in the season of Christmas, it is daily a life-changing experience. It's that proof that God has not given up on humanity and that God has not given up on you and me. Just as surely as he didn't give up on Peter, how can you make a proclamation like that and then betray it? Christ didn't give up on him. Christ showed back up. God doesn't run away from messy people. He goes to them. He didn't run away from Adam and Eve. He went to them. He seeks them out in order to have them place their faith in them and become children of God. That is that statement that comes across so smallly sometimes, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God has come in to our neighborhood to be right by us. We are not some created kind of creature that's off here somewhere. You know, we're, it's not a God that, oh, yeah, I think about those people. They live on the other coast, you know. No, God is with us. God is with each of us. That entire God that created everything has come to be with us in order to adopt us and then provide a way to continue to heal us. It's just wow. Wow. And that gift, that truth, it's just, we celebrate it now, but Christmas is alive every day. So he shows up, and he always shows up. God, when he shows up, is very different from anything that we normally experience because he comes to draw us closer. What do most people do? I mean, if you experience a brokenness, you usually want to keep that person kind of at arm's length, don't you? God doesn't work that way. He shows up and he draws us closer. He draws us deeper into that relationship. So we have that. We have the adoption. As we receive Christ and receive that right to become children of God, we need to accept that gift. And sometimes we need to accept it daily. We need to remind ourselves. Accept that gift daily. Actively invite God's Spirit into your life and claim that right to be a child of God. No, it's not by our action, but it is part of God's will for us as we invite the Spirit in and do that. And forgiveness. Behold the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That Lamb that in the imagery of Revelation, that Lamb that sits on the throne is the one that removes our sin from us, removes that guilt. We don't have to be bound to any of that. We live our lives newly when we receive forgiveness and grace, and when we give forgiveness and grace, we receive that newness of life and we live into the future God holds. We're not bound to the old stuff. We're not defined by that. We're defined by what we can become as a child of God living into God's grace. So it's a gift. If it's a gift you haven't experienced yet, turn and seek God's forgiveness. Turn. Confess. Repent. Turn to God and let God begin healing in your life. Put your trust in Jesus. He is the one that came to give his all in all that you might have life. Do that. He's not going to turn you down. It's not in his nature to turn you down. It's in his nature to restore you. That's what he does. He comes closer to restore you, to reconcile you, to love you. He will show up and he will not turn his back. It was clear in the stories we've talked about. It was so clear in Peter's life, and it's true in our lives. So as we celebrate Christmas this year, let's look past the baby in the manger. It is the perfect lamb. The perfect lamb is our sacrifice. But look past that baby in the manger and continue to look at God who showed up in Christ by the power of the Spirit. God shows up for all of humanity. He shows up for each and every one of us as we are his children. And let us focus on that in the lives that we live. Let us pray. Dear God, as we continue through this Advent season, we would pray that you would continue to pour your Spirit out upon us. Let us truly encounter Christ. We ask that you would give us the grace we need, give us the wisdom that can only come from you to understand this miracle that you have brought about by the incarnation, the salvation that you poured out upon the world, and let us be the people that proclaim it to the rest of this world as we seek to give the light of Christ to others. In his name we pray. Amen.